Well, if you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to dive into the Word, and if you want to open them, you can open them up to Hebrews chapter 11 this morning. And then if you want, you can kind of hold Hebrews 11, and you can also open up to Genesis 6. We're gonna look at two different areas of Scripture this morning. We're going to hit out of Hebrews 11, and we're going to hit out of Genesis 6. So if you kind of want to hold your finger there somewhere and keep both of those, we'll hit those. Today we're actually going to be kicking off a series. It's a series that I've titled, Faith Is, ... Okay? Faith is, ... And that ... is extremely important. We can't forget the ... because each week we're going to be looking at a different aspect of what faith is. You know, as we walk through the fruit of the Spirit, I told you so many times, when you talk about love, joy, peace, when you talk about words like faith and love and all these things, there are so many aspects. You could speak a whole series. I said that, remember, about love. You could speak a whole series on love. Well, we're speaking a whole series on faith, and each week we're going to be looking at different aspects of what faith is. Each week we'll probably hit a couple different things that faith is, and so that's why it's faith is ... And we're going to talk about those things that faith is. And I figured, kind of, what better place to start a series on faith than Hebrews 11? Okay, some of you may be familiar with Hebrews 11, some of you may not. If you're not familiar with Hebrews 11, it's often referred to as the Hall of Faith. Okay, instead of the Hall of Fame. You know, you've heard of that for sports, the Hall of Fame. It's the Hall of Faith, and Hebrews 11 is often referred to that because in this scripture it talks about so many great men of faith from the Bible, men who were considered to be faithful, people like Noah, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Joseph, Moses, you know, David, you know, there's the list goes on, and you'll see even as we go through this series that it hits so many different men of faith. And so this morning we're gonna kick off this series, and we're gonna take a look at the faith of a man named Noah. I think many of us have at least heard the name Noah. We're familiar with Noah's Ark, right? You know, we've seen it in our preschools. You know, the little things, you know, that you can put the little animals in and put Noah in and all that kind of thing. And so we're familiar with the name, but we're going to really look at Noah and what we can learn about faith from him. And so I want to start off in Hebrews 11 this morning, and we're just going to read one scripture out of Hebrews. It's Hebrews 11, verse 7. Because that's the scripture, like I said, Hebrews, it talks about all these men of faith. And Hebrews 11, 7 is the one that focuses on Noah. And so I want to read that to you this morning. That's where we're going to start as we dive into this life of Noah and what we can learn from Noah. It says this in verse 7. It says, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness that comes by faith." And it starts here by saying what Noah did was by faith, that what he was doing and the life that he lived was by faith. And so from this statement, we know that Noah was considered by God himself to be a man of faith. And so this morning I want to look at a few things that we can learn from Noah when it comes to this faith. And so for that, we kind of got to jump back to the story of Noah. We got to jump back to Genesis. And so that's where I said we're going to be jumping over to Genesis chapter 6. So let's jump there, and I'm going to read a little bit of scripture here from Genesis 9 through 22, or chapter 6, verses 9 through 22 this morning, and look at this story of Noah. It actually starts off by saying, this is the account of Noah. And then it says, "Noah was a righteous man, blameless among the people of his time, and he walked with God. Now Noah had three sons, Shem, Ham, and Japheth." And I don't know if I'm saying that correctly or not. But number verse 11, "Now the earth was corrupt in God's sight and was full of violence. God saw how corrupt the earth had become, for all the people on earth had corrupted their ways." That's all the people. except for Noah and his family. So verse 13, it says, "So God said to Noah, I'm going to put an end to all people, for the earth is filled with violence because of them. I am surely going to destroy both them and the earth. So make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out. This is how you are to build it. The ark is to be 450 feet long, 75 feet wide, and 45 feet high. Make a roof for it and finish the ark to within 18 inches of the top. Put a door in the side of the ark and make lower, middle, and upper decks. I'm going to bring floodwaters on the earth and to destroy all life under the heavens, every creature that has the breath of life in it. Everything on earth will perish. But I will establish my covenant with you, and you will enter the ark, you and your sons and your wife and your sons' wives with you. You are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you. Two of every kind of bird, of every kind of animal, and of every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come to you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them." In verse 22, we finish. It says, "Noah did everything just as God commanded him." Now, there are a couple things here this morning as we look at the life of Noah that I want to point out in regards to his faith. And the first goes back to Hebrews 11, where we started. If you look at Hebrews 11, it says, "By faith, Noah, when warned about things not yet seen," okay? When warned about things not yet seen, he responded. And that phrase, "not yet seen," is the key. And so the first thing that we can learn from Noah about faith this morning is this. Faith is believing even when you can't see it. It's believing even when it's something that we can't tangibly grab hold of and see. Now, how many of you have heard the phrase before, "seeing is believing," right? We've all heard that. That's kind of a phrase that goes around our world and our society. And the truth is, that is how most of the world determines what they believe, right? If they can see it, they'll believe it. But if they can't see it, then they're not going to believe it. It's like, prove it, show it to me, right? Show me the money, right? Whatever it is, okay? If they can see it, they'll believe it. But if they can't, they won't. And I know I've been guilty at times of falling into this trap myself. But here we see that Noah had faith in something that he couldn't see. Something that he couldn't grab hold of, that wasn't tangible, that wasn't right in front of him. And think about it. Think about this. Try and put yourself in Noah's shoes, okay? And actually, in that time, it was probably more sandals than shoes, okay? Or maybe even barefoot. I don't even know back then if they even used sandals. I'm not sure. But put yourself in Noah's place, okay? He lived in a world that God himself described here in the scriptures as corrupt. He and his family, they were the only ones that weren't corrupt. Now think about that for a moment. What if you were the only one that showed up for church this morning? Now, I'm not just talking about Dallas Foursquare Church. What if you were the only one that showed up for all churches throughout the world? If you were the only one that wasn't corrupt. You see, we think that the world is bad today, right? We think, we hear all these things, "Oh man, you know, America is going down quick." And this may be true, right? But we think this world is so horrible, but at least we have other Christians that we can partner with, that we can come alongside with and walk this out together. Noah and his family, they had nobody. They were the only ones in this world that weren't corrupt. So it couldn't have been easy for Noah to remain faithful Think about it. I remember I shared the testimony of myself and my failure. And I mentioned, I said, it's not a good excuse, but part of the reason I failed was all the Marines around me, I didn't have one Christian that I could come alongside to help encourage me. And this is what it was like for Noah. And he stayed faithful to the Lord. He remained faithful. It couldn't have been easy for Noah to remain faithful in this corrupt world that he lived in. And now, beyond just living in this corrupt world, he's building this big thing called an ark. Now, we can only imagine how other people might have responded to this, right? How people would have responded to him building this big, giant ark on the middle of his property, okay? Now, here's the interesting thing. We don't actually know how people responded. And if you've heard pastors say how people responded, then they're pretty much guessing or estimating. Because as I studied this and as I looked and I tried to find, okay, where in the Bible does it talk about how people responded? Where in the Bible? Because some people, I remember pastors saying how he tried to preach to people. There's nothing in the Bible that says that. So we don't know how people responded. We don't know what they did. But I would guess that he was probably the laughing stock to the people around him that knew him and saw him building this big, giant ark. I'm guessing that he got a lot of flack from it and was mocked a lot. And because of this, I'm sure it took a great deal of faith and courage to continue to do it, to continue to follow through, especially because it involves something that he couldn't see. Now again, as I studied this, I found that there are a lot of ideas and speculation as to what it is that the Bible's referring to is that he couldn't see. Because, you know, I was always under the impression that it hadn't rained before this time. But it doesn't say that. And as I went, again, studying through the scriptures and trying to figure this out, I realized, and as I even looked at commentaries online, there's a lot of different views, but it's all speculation. They'll even say, we assume this, but it doesn't say in the scriptures. So what is it that he couldn't see? You know, some believe it was the rain. Some believe that it hadn't rained before this time. Because in Genesis, it talks a little bit about the mist that comes to take care of the plants. And you know, but that was before the fall. So we don't know if after the fall that changed or not. We don't know if rain came after the fall. We don't know that. But some believe that it could have been rain, that they'd never seen rain. And to imagine, if you've never seen rain, I mean, we don't know that because we live in Oregon. But to imagine, you know, never seeing rain and think, what are you talking about? Water's going to start coming down from the skies. What do you mean that it's going to flood? I mean, people probably just thought he was crazy. They thought he was a wacko lunatic. You know, and if it wasn't the rain, you know, others believed it was just the idea of the earth flooding. And that in itself, to think about, you know, when you think of the mountains and the hills and to think that water's going to come and cover all of this. It's an amazing thing to think about. So either way, it doesn't matter what that unseen thing was. The fact is, Noah believed that God would do what he said he would do, even when he couldn't see it. And God calls us to be people of faith, just like Noah. God desires for us to have that kind of faith, which means believing and trusting in him, even when we can't see him. It means believing and trusting and following him even when we don't know where he's taking us, where he's guiding us, where he's leading us. It's all about stepping out in faith and trusting your life fully to the Lord. Now, the thing is, whenever I think about that, about just stepping out in faith and being led blindly by the Lord at times, I always go to Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, okay? I mean, I saw this movie back when I was in high school, but I'm sure you're familiar with it. I know I used this clip one time to illustrate this in youth group. But if you're unfamiliar, in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, there's this place, you know, he's following all these clues and trying to get, you know, to, I forget what he was trying to get on that movie. There's all different things throughout the different movies. But anyway, he's kind of trying to get to the ultimate goal, and he comes to this ledge that it looks like if he steps out, he will just plummet to his death down below. But it's kind of called the leap of faith, where He has to step out and trust that when he steps out, something's going to be there to catch him, right? And so it's that big leap of faith of going, you know, it looks like I'm just going to go to the ground. And you know, if you do it in slow motion and look at it, it's not the best camera work in the world, okay? But he literally, you know, he steps off and he doesn't go anywhere. And it's like he continues to walk and he stays on this invisible platform, apparently, that's keeping him from plunging to his death. But I love this clip because really it's a perfect illustration of what it's like in our relationship with the Lord, what it's like to walk in faith. There's times where God's saying, take the plunge, step out, trust that I'm going to be there to hold you up, to take you along the way. It's trusting in the things, believing in that which is not yet seen. That's God's desire for our lives. It's how Noah lived his life. Noah believed even when he couldn't see it. And guess what? Because of that, it ultimately saved his life, right? It ultimately saved his life and it saved his family's life. They were spared because of his faith and trust in God. And I believe God is calling us to learn to walk in faith like Noah and to learn to believe even when we can't see it. Now, the second thing I think that we can learn from these scriptures about Noah is this, is not only is faith believing when you can't see it, but faith is then putting your beliefs into action. Faith is putting those beliefs into action. Genesis 6:22 says, right at the very end, the last scripture we read, said, Noah did everything just as God commanded him. He put his belief into action. You see, it's important that we believe, okay? It's important that we believe, and that's that first aspect of believing even when we can't see. But then we have to put our belief into action. We have to walk it out. Now, some of you may have heard this story before, but I came across this story a while ago on the internet of a tightrope walker. A tightrope walker from the late 1800s. Matter of fact, when I went and looked this up, there were a lot of people in the late 1800s, like five or six people that walked across Niagara Falls, that tightroped across Niagara Falls. I was blown away by that when I was looking this up, but there's a bunch of different people that did this. But I came across the story of a tightrope walker from the late 1800s who did these incredible aerial feats all over Paris, all over Europe, and he would do these tightrope acts at tremendously scary heights with no net. Now, some of us today, we can relate to this. If you were watching the Grand Canyon, right, the guy, Nick Walenda, who went across the Grand Canyon recently, and I found out also he himself, a couple of years ago, went across Niagara Falls. And so some of you may have been watching this. But it's the same kind of idea, these scary tightrope acts from these high places. And this is the late 1800s in Europe. And it says he would do them blindfolded. Then he'd go across the tightrope blindfolded, pushing a wheelbarrow. Then blindfolded, pushing a wheelbarrow with someone in it, right? And so an American promoter had heard about this. He read about this in the papers, and he wrote a letter to the tightrope walker saying this. He said, tightrope, I don't believe you can do it, but I am willing to make you an offer. For a very substantial sum of money, plus all your transportation fees, I would like to challenge you to do your act over Niagara Falls. And this was the first man to ever do it. Tightrope wrote back, sir, although I've never been to America and seen the falls, I've never said no to a challenge, and I'd love to come. So after a ton of promotions and setting the whole thing up, many people came to see the event. Tightrope was to start on the Canadian side and come to the American side. As the drums rolled, tightrope came across the wire, which was suspended over the treacherous part of the falls. He was blindfolded with a wheelbarrow and somebody in it. He made it across easily, and the crowd went wild. He then approached the promoter and said, well, Mr. Promoter, now do you believe that I can do it? Well, of course I do. I just saw you do it. No, said Tightrope. Do you really, truly believe that I can do it? Well, of course I do. You just said, no, listen to what I'm saying. Do you believe I can do it? Yes, said Mr. Promoter, I believe you can do it. Good, said Tightrope, get in the wheelbarrow. It's one thing to say you believe. It's another thing to be willing to prove that you believe. And see, faith, that's faith. Faith is putting our belief into action. For us, it's being willing to get into God's wheelbarrow. I believe I'm going to be okay, God. I believe you're going to take care of me, right? Then get in the wheelbarrow. It's being willing to get into God's wheelbarrow, to fully put your faith in Him and His will and plan for your life. You see, Noah didn't just believe. He acted upon his belief. He put his belief into action. He built the ark, and it says he did it exactly how God said, to every specification, to the animals, to everything. He did what he was supposed to do. Why? Because God told him to. See, the reality is it's not just enough to say that we believe. A lot of people say, yeah, I believe in God. It's not just enough to say we believe. We have to put that belief into action. Because so many people say, yeah, I believe in God, but they don't prove it by their actions. They're not showing that they truly believe in God, that they truly believe in His Word and that His Word is true, and walk those things out in their lives. And maybe some do to an extent, but when He asks them to do something challenging or scary or something that may seem impossible, they step back. Wait a second, I don't know that. I believe you can do it. I don't know if I can do it, you know. They step out, they get out of the wheelbarrow. You see, we have to ask ourselves, where are we at in our faith? Something we have to challenge ourselves at every day. Where are we at in our faith? Are we believing in things not yet seen? Do we really believe that God will do what He says He's going to do even when we can't see it? Are we then putting our faith into action and demonstrating it? You see, Noah did, and God desires the same for us. You see, my encouragement for us this morning is this. My encouragement is that we seek God with all our heart and that we ask Him to give us this kind of faith, that He would give us this kind of faith, because this kind of faith can only come through the power of the Holy Spirit. Can only come through the Holy Spirit in our life. It's something that we can't muster up this kind of faith on our own. It's something that comes from the Spirit. And this is something you've heard me talk about a lot in the last several months. As we walked through the series of the fruit of the Spirit, how I continued to say we can't love this way without the power of the Holy Spirit. We need the power of the Holy Spirit to do these things in our life. If you were here last week, my brother-in-law was here speaking, did a great job, but was saying the same thing, talking about the need of God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit in our life. It's the Holy Spirit that gives us His gifts. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that allows us to operate in the fruit of the Spirit and in the gifts of the Spirit. And faith is one of the spiritual gifts of the Holy Spirit. And as we learn to walk in this power, as we learn to walk in His Spirit, we're able to experience His faith in our lives, this kind of faith that we see in Noah in our lives. And you want to know the cool thing about faith that I'm realizing? That as I looked at His Word this week, the reality is it just takes a little bit of faith. Just a little. The Bible says in Matthew 17, the faith of a mustard seed, the faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. We can say, mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea. Just a little bit of faith. Anyone know how small a mustard seed is? It's tiny. I got a picture on the internet. I have this picture. Okay, that's a human hand, right? You know, so that's a little tiny seed. That's small. I mean, it's tiny. The faith of a mustard seed can move mountains. It takes just a little bit of faith. But here's the thing, as we allow the Holy Spirit to develop that faith in our lives, to just take that little bit of faith and develop it, then we're able to have the kind of faith that Noah had. The kind of faith that believes even when we can't see it. The kind of faith that's willing to put our beliefs into action. That's God's desire for our life, to walk in His faith, to allow His faith to allow us to move forward, regardless of how it looks. Because if He says go, we need to go. If He says build, we need to build. If He says stop, we need to stop. We have to follow Him and allow His faith to guide and direct us as we do that. I'm going to have the worship team come up here as we're going to finish with the song this morning. But we're just going to pray and just ask that the Lord teach us to be people of faith like Noah. People who believe even when we can't see. And that's such a hard thing. The world we live in today, we got to see it to believe it. But that's why it's called faith. That's why it's called our faith. Because the reality is, we're never going to be able to see and touch everything that God wants us to do. We're never going to be able to physically, tangibly grab hold of things. But I can tell you this, as I've begun to walk in faith and seek the Lord, I know in my heart. Because I experience through the power of the Holy Spirit the faith that He's given me. And that's what it's about. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this word. Lord, we thank You for Noah. We thank You for the great examples of people in the Bible, Lord, that we can look to and that we can grow from, Lord. There's so many great examples of just ordinary people who learned how to just live their life for You. Not perfect. We can read about Noah in different times throughout the Bible and some of his failures and mistakes. He wasn't a perfect man, but he was someone that walked in faith, Lord. And that showed us a great example of what faith is, Lord. And so I pray You teach us, Lord, how to be people of faith, how to have this kind of faith in our life, Lord. And it's something that only comes from You. So I pray that You teach us how to seek the power of Your Holy Spirit, Lord, how to stir up Your Spirit in our lives, Lord Jesus. We thank You and praise You for this, Lord. We thank You and praise You. We just give this to You in Jesus' name. Amen.